Let us first read the scriptures. Please turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father in heaven, it is so good to be found in thy house this Lord's Day. In this world that we live in, which is full of evil and wickedness, toil and turmoil, we thank thee that when we enter into thy house, into this holy sanctuary, we can find refuge. We can find strength. There is peace. There is joy. There is grace. O Lord, we thank thee that thou art the living and true God, a God also of love. And you have demonstrated thy love by sending thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on the cross. And how we thank thee that by thy power he is raised from the dead, and he is our living Savior, sitting on thy throne above, interceding for us. And this morning we come to him, O Lord, and we beseech thee, and we plead with thee, forgive us of all our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to walk in the straight and the narrow way that leads to life. How we thank thee, O Lord, that you have blessed us. You have blessed True Life BP Church to be a testimony of thy truth. Help us to keep on believing. Help us to keep on trusting. Help us to keep on living by faith. From faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. We pray, O Lord, for our beloved pastor, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh, thy faithful servant whom thou hast used for all these decades to preach thy word and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to all parts of the world. And we pray, O Lord, that in his old age you might grant him a double portion of thy spirit and grant him, Lord, good health and strength. Strengthen him that he might continue to serve thee even at this time. For that is the desire of his heart, to live for thee. And so, Lord, may you also hear our prayers. We pray also for our brother Henry Tan. In this time of suffering, may you be especially close to him, to lift up his spirit, to encourage his heart, and to fill his mind with thy thoughts. And so, Lord, we pray that thy healing hand may be also upon him, and also upon his dear wife, our sister Ruth, and his children, Benedict, and Tingta, Timothy, and Andrew. Help them. And may, O Lord, thou use them, even as they serve thee, in this church, wherever you have put them, that they might bear a good testimony for thy name's sake. We rejoice also with those who rejoice, and how you have blessed the newlyweds our brother Jonathan and sister Angeline. They have committed themselves to Thee as husband and wife, yesterday in holy matrimony, and Thou hast blessed them with a most wonderful day and a meaningful marriage ceremony. And as they start their life together, may You help them to establish a godly home. And may they continue to look up to Thee. Christ is the head of the family of their house, and Thy holy words the foundation of their faith and practice. And so, Lord, may You be with them. We thank Thee, Lord, that they have honored Thee, and they are found in Thy house today also. Bless their parents as well. How we thank Thee that both sides of the families, they are believers. And surely this is a happy thing in the Lord. We are found in Thy kingdom. We pray, O Lord, for the session of the church that will meet on Wednesday. Help us, Lord, in our deliberations. All that we plan and do will be according to Thy will. We thank Thee, Lord, for the Korean worship service that has just started. Lord, may You cause this Korean service to be of great use for Thee, that Thy pure word and the gospel might be proclaimed boldly and richly. And in Thy own good time, may You give the increase, and more will come to the saving knowledge of Christ among the Korean people that have come to Singapore to work or to study. And Lord, we thank Thee that we can have a small part in this good work. So bless us, Lord, we pray. And now as we look at the scriptures, guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please keep your Bibles open to Romans chapter 1. And I want to draw your attention to verse 17 especially. And verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? What is faith all about? In the light of what we have just read in verse 17, Paul tells us that living by faith means putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in our own selves, but in somebody else. Namely, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the words of men, but in the words of God. In the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not in our own goodness. Not in our own intelligence. Not in our own good works or good deeds, but in the goodness and the good works of Jesus Christ through the gospel. Many people would like to know how to get to heaven. Do you want to know the way to heaven? Many a time when we want to go to a place that we do not know, we seek for directions. We want to know where we are going. We want to seek the way there so that we would not be lost. And yes, we are also on a journey. Our journey towards life that will come after death. Do we know where we are going? I'm sure all of us would want to go to heaven. But how to get there? And more often than not, you hear people say, well, if you want to go to heaven, you have to do good. You have to be good. Do good works. That's what the religions tell us. All the religions of the world would say this. You want to get to heaven? Do good works. By being good and doing good, it will get you there. But there's only one religion, and this religion is unique, that says differently. If you do good works, you won't get to heaven, you go to hell. The Christian religion tells us good works can never save us. The Christian religion tells us it is not religion that saves, but a relationship relationship with God Himself. God who has come down to earth. God who has become man in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ has come to live for us, and then to die for us, and then to live again. It is a relationship you must have with God Himself. That is that which saves, not our own good works. If good works could save, perhaps many could enter into heaven. For example, Martin Luther. Now, 2 weeks ago, we commemorated Reformation Sunday. And what Martin Luther in the 16th century Reformation did. And Luther was a religious man. He was a pious man. In fact, he was a Roman Catholic monk. And I've quoted his testimony in the Weekly this morning, and he said this. And he was finding his way towards heaven. How can I have eternal life? How can I have my sins forgiven? And Luther wrote, "I was indeed a pious monk and followed the rules of my order more strictly than I can express. If ever a monk could obtain heaven by his monkish works, I should certainly have been entitled to it." So if all the good works and religious duties he had done, or we have done, could get us to heaven, maybe many of us would make it. And Luther says he would surely be entitled to it. But the more good works he did, the more religious he became, the more miserable he felt, the more guilt-ridden he was. He could not find salvation in his own good works, in himself. And it was only until he found it from somewhere else, from someone else, namely from the Scriptures and from Jesus Christ. And then when he opened the Scriptures and he read, "The just shall live by faith, not works, but faith," then his eyes suddenly opened. And the Holy Spirit taught him and revealed to him the truth. Not in myself, not my goodness, but the goodness of Christ and the gospel, that I am saved. And when he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the gospel, he was freed from his sins. And he was truly happy indeed. No more guilt. All the burdens of sin rolled away, and he went out preaching. He was so happy he couldn't keep quiet. And he nailed the 95 theses on the castle door of Wittenberg. "The just shall live by faith." He wanted everybody to know. Our good works will lead us to hell. But the good news of Jesus Christ will get us to heaven. We must trust in the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not to say that good works are not important. Yes, good works are important. We need to obey the commandments of God. But good works come after we have become a child of God. Because only when we are children of God, when our sins are forgiven and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then the good works will be produced. And the good works will be truly good indeed. Because it stems from a regenerate heart, converted heart. It comes from Christ Himself. And will bring glory to God. Not glory to ourselves, but glory to God. We are no good at all, please understand. No man is born good, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man is a sinner from day one. From the day he was conceived in his mother's womb, the day he was born, already a sinner. A sinner from the start. And if we want to get to heaven, we must believe. No matter how many good works, how much good we do, it's not good enough, because we have been disqualified from the very beginning, from the start already. You know, you may participate in a race. At the starting line, you break the rules. You may run the race, but you're already disqualified from the beginning. And you may run with all your might, You may even cross the finishing line, but you have been disqualified. You will never get the prize. Oh, we are like that. At the starting line already, we have sinned against God. Even in our mother's womb, we are already sinful. And in the life that we live right now, we are all disqualified from heaven itself. And no matter how hard you run, no matter how well you do, no matter how many good works you do, you may cross the finishing line, but there is no prize. You are disqualified. We are all disqualified from the beginning. And God tells us we fall far short of His holy standards. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. As filthy rags. So we are not justified by works, but only by grace through faith in Christ alone. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And of course, you may say, can you prove that I'm a sinner from the beginning? That I'm a sinner right now, I cannot get to heaven by my good works? Yes. The Ten Commandments are the evidence that we have sinned against God, and we sin even right now and daily in our lives. Have we not transgressed and broken the commandments of God? Every one of them. No one on earth, dear friends, can ever keep the Ten Commandments of God perfectly unless you are born again, unless you are a child of God. And the standards of the Lord Jesus Christ is very, very high. Commandment tells us, thou shalt not kill. You say, I've not killed anybody. I'm good. I've not committed murder. But if you hate someone in your heart, you have committed murder already. Can anyone say that we have not committed such a sin? And if we say one wicked or evil word against our brother, abusing him verbally, raka, you idiot or you fool, there's already a transgression of that commandment. We kill with our tongue, don't we? Can we say we have not committed such a sin? Thou shalt not commit adultery. No, I have not committed adultery. I'm faithful to my wife, but Jesus said, you look at a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery already. How many of us can say we have not sinned? We have sinned, and we fall far short of the glory of God. And we sin because we were born sinners. We are born with this disease. And in our lives, we show indeed the symptoms of this disease. And this condemns us to hell. And you might say, look, there are 10 commandments. I may have broken one or two, but I've not broken all 10. I'm still pretty good. But no, God says, you break one commandment, you have broken all the commandments. Every one of us is the same. All have sinned. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you just break one, you have broken all 10. So how can we be forgiven of our sins? How can I be saved? How can I get to heaven then? Well, there's good news. There's only one way. The way, the truth, and the life, the only true and living way to God and to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto God the Father but by me. So salvation cannot be found in any religion or any individual, any human being, but only in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, who is both God and man, the perfect Savior of the world, the only Savior of the world. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 tells us, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Acts 4 verse 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So So Jesus can save us from our sins. That is the good news in this bad news world. And what is the good news? Jesus died for our sins on the cross, shedding His precious blood according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He truly died and was buried. But according to His promise, according to prophecy, He rose from the dead the third day according to the Scriptures. No one has risen from the dead but the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, if we believe on Him, we will also one day be raised from the dead and have eternal and everlasting life. And Paul tells us in Titus chapter 3, 5 to 6, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, for God so loved the world, we know this well, don't we? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many a time we quote this, but we also must remember verse 18. Verse 16 is important, but also verse 18. And what does John 3:18 says? It says this, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not. If you don't believe, and you continue to reject and rebel against the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you are hearing the gospel today, you are not a believer. You are not born again. You are still in your sins. And daily you transgress the commandments of God, you are on your way to hell. Not only on your way to hell, you can consider yourself to be in hell right now. For Jesus said, He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Have you believed? Are your sins forgiven? And if you are still plagued by your sins, you are still not saved, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, and you have no ability and no strength to even keep the Ten Commandments because you're still dead in your sins, and you are saying, how can I be saved? Well, the good news is right here. You've heard it today. Jesus died for your sins. Don't trust in your own good works, but in the good works of Jesus Christ. Trust in the good words also of Christ. The good news of salvation in Christ. He died for us on the cross, was buried on the third day, He rose again from the dead. And if we confess the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our heart that God had raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. So what is faith? Faith means you believe. You put your trust in the good news of Jesus Christ, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not in your own good works, for there's nothing good in us. So that is faith. And we want to begin with faith and we want to end with faith. The just shall live by faith. And the faith is, and our life must be from faith to faith. We begin with faith, believing in Christ, and we must end with faith. We must keep on believing in Christ until the very end. And one day we will see Christ. We will get to heaven. And we give all glory to Him. There's nothing we can boast. Lord, I'm no good. But You are very good. And I thank Thee for saving me from beginning to end, from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. And if you are a believer, you have begun by faith, please don't end up with sight. You begin with faith, you end with faith. You keep on believing, although you have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ yet. You have not seen heaven yet. But you believe. Because of what the Word of God says. We must begin with God's Word and we end with God's Word. Right? Then we will please the Lord. So, first thing that we learn from here is this. That faith is putting our trust not in our own good works or our goodness, but in the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second thing we want to learn from here is this. That faith is putting our trust not in human reasoning, not in our human intellect, but in divine revelation. in the written word of God. And says here, as it is written, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Why must we live by faith? We must live by faith simply because God tells us to live by faith. Because God says so. God commands us to live by faith. As it is written, as it is written. See, our faith is not based on tradition. Our faith is not based on opinion. Our faith is not based on experience. Our faith must be based only on the written revelation of God, which is the Holy Scripture. As it is written, the Bible you hold in your hands, that is the written revelation of God. God's word, not human words, but divine words, breathe out. And we have it in our hands today, preserved, as it is written. Not, it was written and no more written, it remains written. In fact, the words "it is written" is very interesting in the original. In the Greek, it is written in the perfect tense. In other words, the words of scriptures were perfectly written in the past and remains perfectly written today. And that's why Paul can say, it is written. The same words that were given in the past, the same words you are reading right now, words that were written hundreds or thousands of years ago, same words have been preserved by the Lord, and you are reading the same words today. And God calls us to obey the same commandments, to believe in the same promises, to study the same prophecies. The saints in the Old Testament and New Testament had read. So the words of God are with us today. So our faith must continually be based on God's word as it is written. And John 20 verse 31 tells us, why is the Bible given to us? These are written, John says, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So our faith, dear friends, is not foolish faith. It's not foolish faith. Some people say, oh, you believe in Jesus Christ. You have not seen him, right? How do you know he died on the cross for you? How do you know he was risen from the dead? You have not seen heaven. You have not seen God. And yet you believe. That's foolish faith. That's blind faith. No, it is not blind faith, dear friends. Our faith is based on truth. Because it's based on God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where is the evidence? The evidence is right here in his words. And God's word is truth. You just believe every word he says. Because he doesn't lie. And he knows all things. And he tells us the truth. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, please don't take a leap of faith. Some people say, you believe? Take a leap of faith. There's no such thing as a leap of faith. You say you take a leap of faith, that is bad theology. We don't take a leap of faith, because taking a leap of faith, you're jumping out into nowhere. Something that's empty. We take a step of faith. That is correct theology. We take a step of faith. We know. We see. Through the lens of God's word, through the spectacles that are given to us in the scriptures, and we see clearly. We see the Lord Jesus Christ. We see heaven. Yes, we even see him dying on the cross. We see him buried. We see him risen from the grave. They say, were you there 2,000 years ago? You mean you saw him? You mean you saw him dying on the cross? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they put him, laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose from the dead? We were not there. But do we see? We do see. We see in the same way those who were eyewitnesses, they saw 2,000 years ago. How? Through the words of the scriptures that have been preserved for us till today. And when you read the scriptures, when you read the gospels, when you study the life of Christ, and you read the scriptures, is as good as you being there 2,000 years ago, seeing all these things that happened, and they happened precisely. The Word of God is true. Historically true. You see through the Word of God. Okay? So we are all eyewitnesses. We are all eyewitnesses of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. We are all eyewitnesses of His miracles. We all hear His teachings. We, you know, today we can sit at the feet of Jesus too, just like the disciples of old, because we have the words of life, Holy Scriptures, inspired and preserved. We have it in our hands. And that's the wonder of it all. How good, how precious the Word of God is. And God knows we need it. We need every word of it, and every word of it is true. It is written. It was written, it is written, and will always remain perfectly written. And so we are asked, we are called upon to keep on believing in the Scriptures. Scriptures that we have today in our hands. 100% perfect without any mistake. And unless the sinner humbles himself and believes in what the Almighty and All-Wise God has said in His forever infallible and inerrant words, we will remain in darkness and will not see the light. It's only when we kowtow, we bow to God's word today and believe every word of it, then our eyes will be opened. Then we begin to see, then we begin to know and understand spiritual things. And take note, it is not the wisdom of the world that will convert the sinner. Not the wisdom of the world at all, but the power of the gospel. And that's why Paul testified, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, declaring unto you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So no amount of human reasoning, no amount of intelligent rhetoric, no amount of clever arguments can ever convict and convert a sinner or an unbeliever. It is only by the preaching of the cross that sinners are saved. By the foolishness of preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 tells us, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And that's why Paul in verse 16 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So every Christian, if you're a believer, you're a Christian, whether you're young or old Christian, whether you're rich or poor, you're educated or unlearned, if you are a believer, you can also preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need not master all the rules of logic. You need not collect all the evidence, all the evidences there are to prove Christianity or the existence of God. No need for all these things. You just need the gospel of Christ. Some people think that, in order to win a sinner to Christ, you know, you must offer all the evidences. Prove first that the Bible is true. Prove first that God exists. And then when he's convinced of that, then you give him the gospel and he'll believe. No, not at all. Have you ever done witnessing before and evangelism? And then you present all your arguments, all the reasons, all the evidences. And you think your evidences are so convincing. You answered all his questions. But after answering all his questions, he still says, I do not believe. You see, it's not human reasoning, not our own cleverness, right? Not any evidence that we can produce. In fact, when unbelievers ask questions, you answer one question, they'll give you another question. And if you may answer all their questions, they'll find more questions to ask of you. And then you can argue and explain until the cows come home, and you're still back in square one. See, the problem is the root problem. Preach the gospel. And once he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes into him, then he can see and understand. And all his questions will be answered. Then he will no longer ask for any more evidence, because the evidence is right here in the Word. And once he believes, he reads the Bible, he studies the Bible, he will be able to discern and understand. So it is the gospel. So you don't need to master, right, all the skills of a debater or rhetoric or logic. Just preach the pure gospel of Christ. And people will connect, because everyone is made in the image of God. And a person, a sinner, knows he is sinful. He may deny it, but he knows it. Confront his sin. Show him what he's like through the Ten Commandments. And say, look, you have sinned against God. You're on your way to hell. But good news is, Christ came, died for you on the cross. Then he rose from the dead. You believe, you can be saved. And then the Holy Spirit begins to work, convict him of his sin. And then he believes. Then all his questions will be answered. Where he has come, where have I come from? Why am I here? Where will I be going? All these will be answered. So take note of this. It is not human reasoning, but divine revelation that saves us, that we need. So from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. And here, the words shall live by faith, take note, is written in the future tense. In the future tense. In other words, there's a sense of continuity and certainty. We shall live by faith continuously and for sure. In other words, the just shall keep on believing. The just shall keep on living by faith. The just shall always live by faith. Are you just? If you are just and righteous before God, and God hath clothed you with the righteousness of Christ, you will keep on. You will always live by faith and not by sight. You will not end up saying, oh, now I do not believe until God proves to me He exists. No. You begin with faith, you will end with faith. And that is a certainty. True faith is a faith that will endure unto the very end. It's enduring faith. It is continuous faith. Shall live. I live by faith now. I will live by faith tomorrow, next year, 10 years down the road, until the very end. Until Christ calls me home. From faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. If you don't continue to live by faith, you're not just. You're unjust. The just shall live by faith. Always. Keep on. Keep on believing. As the hymn writer says, my heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, not just believe, but you continue. Keep on believing. Continue in my word. Then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So we are freed from all uncertainties. We are free from all anxieties when we live by faith in the Lord and His Word. Sometimes, you know, in the life that we live in right now, we worry. We are full of anxiety. And why do we worry? If we worry and we overly worry, it's due to our lack of faith. Not trust the Lord enough. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Did not in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us, you know, we are more precious than sparrows and the birds in the air. And if God takes care of the birds and the sparrows, how much more He will take care of us? Just keep on believing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of us. And then with regard to the Bible, never doubt the scriptures. Never criticize it. Never question it. Always believe, and not only believe, but keep and obey. And always think like this: let God be true, every man a liar. Because people will come and tempt you and cast doubt on you. Cast doubt on God's word. Say, are you sure God's word says this? Are you sure every word of God is true? Are you sure you have a perfect Bible today? And then they say, here are mistakes and there are mistakes, but these are not important. No, please don't think like this. For this is not the thinking of faith. I just believe what God says in His word. Let God be true and every man a liar. That is faith. Let God be true. I don't care what man says. But if this is what God says of Himself and of His word and of my Savior, I just believe. Simple faith. Like that of a little child. God says it. That settles it. I believe it. I may not understand everything, but I pray that as I study the Bible, I will understand more and more. But I will never, never doubt God's word. He is always true. And as I humble myself before God's word, I may not know everything. I may not have all the answers. But then as I study God's word, Lord, give me understanding. Then I understand more and more. Oh, how good His words are. And then God tells us, look, it's not a mistake here. You see, when you compare the scriptures with scriptures, that is the answer. And God gives us the answer. And we grow in the grace, in knowledge and the wisdom of God. And then we become very happy. Okay. But we begin to doubt God and question God. We become very miserable people. And we trust in our own intelligence, our own human reasoning. It's worse because our mind is already very corrupted. You know, trust in our own corruption and in destruction. You trust in God's word, His truth, is the words of life. It will lead us to life, right? Happiness, peace, joy. That's why we must live by faith. From faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. So, what does it mean to live by faith? It means we ought never to trust in our own goodness and intelligence, but always in the gospel of Christ, our Lord, and His perfect word. And faith is the victory. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, word of truth, word of life. Help us, Lord, to approach Thee and approach Thy word with faith. From faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. And now as we come before Thy table, prepare our hearts, Lord. We confess our sins and ask of Thee that Thou would cleanse us of all our sins, wash away all our unbelief, cleanse us from all our disobedience, our transgressions of Thy commandments, and help us, Lord. We want to repent of our ways and obey Thy commandments even to the last bit. And we want to please Thee, to walk by faith, believing and obeying in all Thy words. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, may we partake of the bread and cup with clean hands and pure hearts. Forgive us of all our sins. We remember what Jesus has done for us. And we want to live for Him, to live by faith, not by sight. And to continue on believing, always trusting to live by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.